American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming my colleagues, Bill Raggio and Tom Jossen, senior fellows at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, watching the whole of the Ummah, the conflict from the Hindu Kush to the Mediterranean. Right now, we're concentrating, however, on Afghanistan as the coalition forces, chiefly the U.S., prepare for final departure. Along with the contractors, along with, we learned this morning from the Australian, that the Australian embassy in Kabul will be departing, along with 80 Australian troops still in country. We also learn from Mr. Khalilzad, Ambassador Khalilzad, who's been a principal in the negotiations between the Taliban, the U.S., the coalition, and the Kabul government for many months, many years. Mr. Khalilzad's opinion is that the expectation of Kabul being overrun when the U.S. leaves is overblown. We also have other mitigating remarks, but I first welcome some details from Bill Raggio reporting about the Taliban overrunning a district in central Afghanistan following the reports that the Taliban has surrounded five Afghan provincial capitals. Bill, this is more of the story you've been telling for years, but in these closing weeks, is there any significance to these five Afghan provincial capitals or central Afghanistan? Does this indicate that they're getting ready for Kabul itself? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. I'm just going to make a quick comment on Khalilzad and his statement. Look, no one should believe anything this guy says any longer. He has lied to us about negotiations with the Taliban. He is not the guy we should be listening to as to what the state of play is in Afghanistan. He's just not a credible individual any longer, and it's shocking that he still has a job. But as far as what the Taliban's doing, look, yes, it's more of the same, but we're seeing sort of the Taliban is I think what we're seeing here, John, is that the Taliban is preparing for its big offensive. So this is a lot more of the same, but it's happening in some areas now that are surrounding Kabul. So the Defense Intelligence Agency said that five provincial capitals as of February were directly surrounded by the Taliban. Three of them are in the south. That's the capitals of Helmand, Uruzgan, and Kandahar. And two of them are in the north, Abu Kunduz, and other one was, I believe, in Baghlan. And that's true. But according to what I've been tracking, half of the capitals are surrounded by the Taliban, and that's 17 of the 34 provincial capitals. And we saw evidence of this just this weekend. This is part of what the Taliban taking over districts, right? They're grabbing, we've talked about this numerous times on your show, they're grabbing the rural areas to put pressure on the urban areas, which are usually provincial capitals in Afghanistan. And in Wardak province, just over the last week, two districts fell to the Taliban. Wardak is right on the outskirts of Kabul. In Lagaman province, which is just northeast of Kabul, the Taliban took control of another district there. And they're actually on the doorstep of the provincial capital of Lagaman. There's reports that they've overrun some security bases and are launching attacks on at the edges of the city. And Lagaman, that is one of the 17 that I had mentioned. So I think the Taliban's laying the groundwork for its big offensive. It certainly appears to me like the Taliban is waiting for the U.S. to leave, so that it doesn't have the capability of, because that's the only thing that kept places like Kandahar City, Lashkar Gah, And then other provincial capitals from fully falling to the Taliban was U.S. air power striking at Taliban forces as they were massing in the open. The Taliban doesn't need to unnecessarily take casualties now. So what it's doing, it's chipping away on the edges and preparing for its offensive, which I believe will come either, you know, either late, mid to late summer or early this fall. And it could happen sooner if there's problems with the Afghan government.
The airstrikes, Bill, were they significant to the Taliban? Or, as you say, there's no reason to be incautious with these closing weeks. I'm just puzzling how airstrikes can be any more effective in 2021 than they were the last 20 years in defeating the Taliban.
Yeah, it's not going to defeat the Taliban. And as we mentioned, all it has done is kept the Taliban from taking major cities. So the Taliban to do that, they have to mass their forces and they have to assault these cities. So what the Taliban's alternate strategy has been, and that's what we've been seeing, let's take these airstrikes are ineffective in the rural areas where the Taliban don't have to mass in the thousands. They could do it in the hundreds. By the time air power gets to these places, well, when anyone notices, they're under Taliban control. So yeah, all it can do is just hurt the Taliban in casualties, but it's not ultimately stopping the Taliban goals of making territorial gains.
Tom, a very good evening to you. There is a report from the Department of Defense Office of Inspector General dated 1 January 2021 to March 31st, 2021. You highlight in your report that the DIA now observes Al-Qaeda. Where do they observe them? And does this confirm everything you and Bill and your colleagues have been reporting for years?
Good evening, John. Yes. You know, the thing is that there are now multiple intelligence reports from official aid saying that the Taliban has remained closely tied to and with Al-Qaeda. And, of course, we've been saying that for a long time at Long War Journal. The issue is that you have Zalmay Khalilzad, the special representative for so-called Afghanistan reconciliation, who negotiated this agreement between the Trump administration and the Taliban. He's still in his job and his role in that regard, and he's still out there claiming progress, his words, in the counterterrorism assurances that are embedded within his agreement. And there's absolutely just no evidence that this is true. In fact, he couldn't provide any evidence that it was true. And so there's just absolutely zero evidence that the Taliban has done anything to break with or otherwise renounce or constrain Al-Qaeda in any meaningful way. I think part of the story of the failure in Afghanistan is that asking the Taliban to break with Al-Qaeda would be like asking one brother to break with another brother.
So
the DIA says that they maintain close ties to this day. And so exactly what you hear Bill talking about in terms of the assaults on the provincial capitals, Al-Qaeda is involved in those as well.
Tom, maintain close ties with Al-Qaeda. Quote, very likely preparing for large-scale offensive against population centers and Afghan government installations. Quote, we have very carefully explicated for months this likelihood. Is it significant that it comes now at the end? Have they held back on this scale of reporting? To my knowledge, Congress is not debating this language, and it's blunt. They're expecting Kabul to be overrun.
Yeah, I think the U.S. military painted a very rosy picture of what was going on in Afghanistan for years. And when the data didn't confirm that rosy picture, they then would suppress it and not release it any longer, including the data on the districts that were contested and controlled. You know, a lot of what Bill has done is document how the Taliban was fighting this rural insurgency to capture this ground around provincial capitals. And the way I put it is that they were basically tying the noose, and they knew that as soon as the U.S. NATO forces left, they could then tighten the rope once and for all, and then basically capture those provincial capitals. And so what the DIA is saying in this latest reporting is that's in fact what they're doing. They're just getting ready for the final push here to try and restore the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, their totalitarian regime. And I think what listeners need to understand is that the entire U.S. policy for the last several years at least has been based on this delusion that the Taliban was going to do something other than try and restore its totalitarian Islamic Emirate. And it was a secondary delusion was that it was going to break with Al-Qaeda, and there's no evidence either one of those are true.
Bill, I come back to you. General Scott Miller, I've seen him on several videos commenting on his efforts to withdraw U.S. forces and the equipment in these last weeks in Afghanistan, I was struck by the irony that when he was Captain Miller, he participated in the original operation, I believe it was called Enduring Freedom, into Afghanistan for the Bush administration. So his military career is dominated by Afghanistan. He's still a can-do guy, and you have dealt with him over the years. Has he been deceived by al-Qaeda? Has he been deceived by the facts the DIA is now underlining?
Yeah, it is interesting that he, you know, that he fought at the, and you're right, it is Enduring, Operation Enduring Freedom, or was, and that, you know, it's come full circle. He's now the longest serving U.S. military commander as head of U.S. and NATO forces. I believe he's coming up on 3 years, if it isn't 3 years already. I don't know how much of this is he's deceived himself and how much he's been deceived by intelligence officials. I know I've contacted the individuals on his staff and have explained what is happening. But the fact is that General Miller went all in on negotiations with the Taliban. He's, you know, signed off on Khalid's plan and has been gung-ho about implementing it. He's the guy that shut down the reporting on the status of after what's controlled and contested in Afghan districts and said that was no longer a metric of success. What we'll now call a metric of success is the status of negotiations. Well, General Miller, the status of negotiations, it's failed. And anyone who's pretending that there's going to be some type of agreement really needs to get some psychiatric evaluation, because it is obvious that the Taliban, as Tom stated, is going to continue fighting for the reposition of Islamic Emirate. General Miller owns this failure. It's not like he was in and out in a year. He's had multiple years to try to help direct U.S. policy, fight the Taliban, fight al-Qaeda, which is, as Tom notes, deeply in bed with the Taliban. But instead, he bought into the reconciliation narrative, and now he owns it, and he owns this failure, and it's well-earned for him.
Bill Raggio, Tom Jossom, Senior Fellows, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. Al-Qaeda is the transnational threat. The Taliban is barbaric, but it remains in Afghanistan. What's coming our way is a revival of al-Qaeda's authorities. When we turn to next, what is al-Qaeda promising for its future? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.